the most important thing, listen, yeah, you miss out on hell, but the key is you know Him. You know Him. You're reconciled to God. He's now your Father. All right, take your Bibles. Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 18. Thank God for His marvelous, wonderful, sustaining, and keeping grace. Deuteronomy 18 and verse number 1. The priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and His inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as He hath said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw, the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thine oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand to minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. And if a Levite come from any of the gates of thy gates out of all Israel, where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind unto the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. They shall have like portions to eat, beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. Father, thank you for your word. Please teach us, direct us, help us, and guide us this morning. Father, we ask these things according to thy will in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can be seated. Okay, Deuteronomy 18. You know, here on Sunday morning, we're preaching through the book of Deuteronomy. All right? And that's an interesting thing because here we are after the cross, New Testament, and yet we're going and we're preaching through the book of Deuteronomy. Well, you know, the Bible says all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for proof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished in all good works. And my goodness gracious, the early church, what do you think they had? They had the Old Testament that they were going through. We're not, and of course, what we do is, as we see the context of these things, we make a spiritual application of these things to where we are here after the cross in the New Testament. But what's the setting here in Deuteronomy 18? The children of Israel are getting ready to go into the land of promise. They're just about a month out. The 40 years of wandering in the wilderness are just about done. They're getting ready to go in, and Moses is giving them final instructions before they go in, because he's not going to be able to take them in. Remember, Moses and Aaron didn't sanctify the Lord at the rock. The second time, instead of speaking to it, they smote it with a rod. And God says, Moses, you're not going in. Joshua's going to take them in. And isn't that wonderful? Because listen, what does Moses symbolize to us? The law. The Bible says the law was given by Moses, grace and peace came by Jesus Christ. So Moses, symbolizing the law, can only get them so far. Moses gets them to Jordan. Moses gets them to where they can see over the other side, but Moses can't get them in. Why? The law can't save us. Man, the law gets you so far. The law gets you so far. The law gets you to see the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, and at the same time, our unworth. The law gets us so far, but it just can't get us in. So Joshua is going to bring them in. Why? You know what? Joshua, who is he? What is he? He's a type of Christ. The very name Joshua and Jesus are the very same name, meaning salvation. And Joshua is going to do what Moses can't do. He's going to bring them in. As Christ does what the law can't do, brings us in, gives us eternal life, gives us perfect righteousness. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And we've said before, but just to remind again, listen, that you hear people say sometimes, well, I live by the Ten Commandments. No, you don't. You die by them. You don't live by the Ten Commandments. You die by them. Nothing wrong with the Ten Commandments. They're wonderful. They're great. But they're not given to you to give righteousness to you. They're given to us to show that you fall short of the righteous demand of God. That we can't meet that standard on our own. That we thus need a Savior. The Bible says the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And I hope that you can say that you've come to Jesus Christ and that He's made that new creature out of you. That you have His imputed righteousness, that you're His, He's yours, you're one with Him, and now go on and grow as He'd have you to do. But so here we are, Deuteronomy 18. Once again, Moses is getting ready to leave them in the hands of Joshua. They're going to go in. He's given them final, as it were, operating instructions. So he says in verse 1, notice, the priests, the Levites, and all the tribe of Levi shall have no part nor inheritance with Israel. They shall eat the offerings of the Lord made by fire and his inheritance. Therefore shall they have no inheritance among their brethren. The Lord is their inheritance, as he hath said unto them. And this shall be the priest's due from the people, from them that offer a sacrifice, whether it be ox or sheep. And they shall give unto the priest the shoulder and the two cheeks and the maw, the first fruit also of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the first of the fleece of thy sheep shalt thou give him. So, we know that the tribe of Levi, the tribe of Levi, you know, Aaron had the high priesthood, but the Levites, they were lower order priests, and they served Aaron there in the temple, the things, the tabernacle and temple. So they were a tribe of priests, all right? God had set them aside for that. Well, listen, in one sense, this applies to all born-again believers, because all born-again believers are priests. Take your Bible, go to 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2. All believers that are born again are priests. What did the priest do? He offered acceptable worship and sacrifice to God. And that's what you and I do. Listen, we don't offer blood sacrifice now because Christ Jesus is our blood sacrifice for sin. The Bible says that we offer, as we're going to see, we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 4. 1 Peter 2, verse 4, to whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. And he is he not? If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he is indeed precious to you. There's none like him. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What are we supposed to be? A peculiar people. Different. Brother, something's wrong today. Something's wrong when the professing church, when churches try so hard to find connection so much with the world by being like the world. That's not how you win them. You win them not by infiltration. You win them by separation. God has called his people to be a peculiar people. God's people are to think different. The Bible is to be our guideline. God's people are to think different concerning finances, concerning clothing, concerning family relationships, concerning marriage, concerning raising of children. God's people are to look at all things different than as the world does. We just are. We're to be a peculiar people. To where people looking like, I'm just peculiar. Just different. What I just don't, you know, folks should, you know, be like, and I'm sure folks in your job, other places, like, how come you don't do this? How come you don't do? There's your door to tell them why. God's made us a peculiar people. We're supposed to be different. Not because we are trying to be different on our own, but the new birth makes us different. We have the mind of Christ now. And we let the scriptures guide and direct and order our lives. Go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. Brother, what happens is, if we're not careful, we'll win them to church and lose them to Christ. You can win folks to church, but you'll lose them to Christ. They'll come to church for all kinds of reasons, for activity, program, this, that, and that, for all kinds of things, but yet, never come to Christ. As we said this morning, church is not the be-all and end-all of things. Church is mainly for believers. It's fine when somebody can come to church and hear the gospel and get saved. That's great. Of course, open up to anybody. But church is really for the believers to get strength and help and go out there and be that witness for the Lord. The church is to point folks to Christ as far as the world goes. Why? Do you know something, brethren? Look here. The Lord Jesus said the ministry of the Holy Ghost to this world would be to convince of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's how the Holy Ghost operates to the world. Not to the believer. To the believer, He's comforter. He intercedes for us in prayer. He's different things for us as believers. But His ministry to the world is of convincing of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Well, you know, the church body comes together. And we should encourage, comfort, help one another. But brethren, the church should have the same ministry as the Holy Ghost working through us to this world. Brethren, somebody if lost should come to church and hear about sin, righteousness, and judgment. So that they can, listen, can come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, there when he was dealing, I believe with Agrippa, what was the Bible says he was dealing with them over? Righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come. Just like the ministry of the Holy Ghost. Y'all look here. For the believer, the Spirit of God comforts and aids and gives guidance, gives direction, intercedes for them. But to the world, He convinces, again, of those three things. And any kind of gospel witness must entail those very things. Sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Our sin. Folks have to see what they are. They've got to see that. You know, so many folks today, brethren, they just don't see themselves as unrighteous. They think some people, well, they'll say this. They'll say, well, yeah, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. But as far as deserving hell, they don't think that. If you don't believe it, ask them. Unbelievable number of people that will tell you. Even people in churches that who got saved, they never saw themselves really deserving of hell, though. Oh, I know, I'm a sinner like other people, but now I don't deserve hell. That's maybe somebody like, my goodness gracious, Hitler or those folks like that, those terrorists or other, are just one that's out there that's just off the deep end with it. Listen, when you taste of the grace of God and truth, one of the things that becomes abundantly apparent to you, the longer you're saved, is that outside of Jesus Christ, I don't have a prayer. Outside of Jesus Christ, I scare myself. Outside of Jesus Christ, there is no hope for me. And the only thing that I've ever qualified myself for on my own is hell. Seriously. Well, you must have been pretty bad. Listen, when I got saved, I hadn't murdered nobody. I hadn't whored around. I wasn't a drunkard. I hadn't done all the whole lot of things I hadn't done. But I was a self-willed individual who lived nobody but theirself and didn't care about God. And the night I got saved, I repented of what I was toward God and accepted what He did for me in Jesus Christ. It's sad, brethren. You know, a lot of people, they don't want to face the truth about themselves. But as we've said before, y'all know it. Man, everybody in this world, man. There's things they've done their mama don't know about. Their daddy don't know about. Their husband, wife, kids. Man, there's some things people's done don't nobody know about but you and God. And you would, and you hope nobody else ever finds out about it. That's the thing, see. That's people laying there at night. But there's things they're done. Mama don't know about. Daddy don't know about. Husband, wife don't know about it. But God. And you know what? Sometimes the individual wishes they didn't know about it. But God knows about it. Man, that heavy weight gets on you, and that thing about drive you out of your gourd. Why do you think people drink? Why do you think they smoke dope? Why do you think they snort that line of cocaine? They got to forget. They got to escape because that sin is on them, and when you get alone, it about weigh you down and crush you. So then you go do things that makes it worse because you're trying to find an escape, but it's there. Listen, the Bible talks about the end of that mirth is heaviness. There's a lot of laughter goes on in this world, but let me tell you something. When everybody's gone, when the door's closed, let me tell you, it's a different story. Because the weight of their sin, the heaviness of what they've done, and the world, you know, the world can tell you, don't feel guilty. You don't feel guilty. There's no such thing as sin. That's not really wrong. Yeah, it's not sin. It's not wrong. I don't need to let nobody put a guilt trip on me. I didn't do anything wrong. It's really okay. You can tell yourself that stuff all day long, but when it's you and that pillow, you know. When it's you and that pillow, you know. You know. You can't escape it. All this world can do. You know what? And I'm not telling you to do this, of course, please. I'm speaking in a sarcastic manner and the way the Lord uses sarcasm there, if you will. But you know something, brethren? A lot of folks could save themselves a lot of money. A lot of folks pay a lot of money today to somebody who will set them in a chair on a couch, and all they'll do is just listen to them. Tell me. Really? And they'll write down, and then write a prescription. Well, bartender will listen to you. He might not take notes, but he'll listen, you know. And then he'll just have another. Ain't no difference. One just has more of a taint of respectability to it. But it's the same thing. Whether it's a high-priced lady over the evening or a cheap whore, it's the same thing. You can put a nice facade on sin, but it's still sin. And you can put a nice facade on escapisms and ways to get out, but it's still Christ is the answer. The blood sacrifice of Jesus Christ on our behalf, His sinless life offered up through His shed blood as a sacrifice for our sins is the only answer and antidote for sin and the only thing that can relieve the conscience. Has it ever happened to you? Has it ever happened to you? Have you ever passed from death to life where you know that Jesus Christ has forgiven you and made you a new creature? Old things passed away, all things become new. You knew you were forgiven, and you knew God had did a work in you that only He could do. I hope it has. And if it has, go on and grow. And if it hasn't, it can. If you accept what Christ has done. Anyway, peculiar people. That's what we're supposed to be. That's what these Levites were. They were peculiar people. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 21. Therefore, let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours, and ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. You know what the Lord said concerning those Levites? He said, I'm your inheritance. He said, I am your inheritance. And you know what? He's our inheritance if you're saved. You've heard the song, you know, over the phrase, take the world and give me Jesus. I'd rather have Jesus than silver and gold. Listen, for the believer, what makes heaven heaven is Jesus. Who would want heaven if Jesus wasn't there? I mean, seriously, what good is heaven without Christ? What makes heaven heaven is the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Him. It's knowing Him. And it's just, listen, if you're saved, you know Him now. There's time you can spend with Him now and just have it become all that greater and fuller someday when you see Him face to face as we sang about. It's Christ. And knowing Him, He's what makes heaven heaven. He is indeed our inheritance. All right, now. But there's also, in another sense, there's an application to these verses concerning, a spiritual application concerning local church leadership. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13. Do ye not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? They which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. Go to Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Galatians 6. Verse 6. Galatians 6, verse 6. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Now see, that's where it's good to know your language, right? Look here. The word communicate in the dictionary, if you look up in the dictionary, the word communicate has to do with ministering to, meeting needs of, taking care of like that. That's what we think of communication mainly today as just words. Transferring words from one person to the other. But to communicate in the dictionary means the transfer of any kind of thing and substance from one person to another. What the Bible's saying here is, listen, and folks, there's no way around this thing. Now, look, we're going through the book of Deuteronomy. So we're taking it as it comes up. So we're here in Deuteronomy 18. We're seeing that the thing about the Levites, where there's a New Testament application to all believers, but then also to church leadership. And brethren, New Testament principles, there's no way around this. Whether I'm your pastor or whoever he is, bottom line is, take care of it. Here's the reason why. Brethren, look here. It's incumbent upon me to take, like we're looking through Psalm 23 here, it's incumbent upon me as an under-shepherd to get with God and get something from Him to feed God's flock. And woe to me if I don't do it. And brethren, I want to say to you once again, I've told you before and I'll tell you again. I thank my God for you folks for 29 years I've been pastoring, for the care and the freedom that you have given me to try to devote my time to that book. If I've not fed you at times good enough, it ain't the book's fault, and it ain't because I ain't tried. Maybe I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. Maybe that's it. But I'll tell you this, by the grace of God, I've tried. I think my family and my wife can bear witness to that, and I'll keep trying and doing the best I can to it. But that's what I'm supposed to do. But brethren, by you, the support you give me to give me the freedom to do that, or whatever pastor, whoever your pastor is, you're helping that man. If he'll do what he's supposed to do, get in that book to feed you. Come on, folks. It's the rare thing that I'll preach a topical message. Every now and then I do, probably next week, Mother's Day, maybe on Mother's Day we'll try to do that. Do something Father's Day, times like that. But brethren, come on, Sunday morning, what we do? We're teaching through the book of 2 Kings. I hear Sunday morning at 11, we're preaching through Deuteronomy. 5 o'clock this afternoon, we're teaching through Luke. 6 o'clock, we're going to be preaching through the Philemon. Wednesdays, we're preaching through the book of Psalms. Took us 12 years to get through Proverbs. Brother Mike figured it up, 2076, we'll maybe get through Psalms. But word of God, man. That's all I got to give you. But by you allowing me the time to get in there and do that, you're helping yourself. Now look, woe to me if I don't do as I ought to do. Woe to me. By God's grace, I'll do my best to make that effort. That's why, if I go to change tires at Gerald's Tires, or I go somewhere, I take my Bible and a notebook, and I'll study in the waiting room. Listen, because you know why? The Bible says, redeem the time, the days are evil, and I've seen God bless those times. I've got some of the best studying I've ever done in waiting rooms at tire places and hospitals. I'm being honest with you. God says, redeem the time, I'll do my best to do it. But brethren, you, by providing me with that, it's right by the Bible, and it ultimately helps you out.
Well, I'll tell you what,
ain't done much for me lately. Well, pray for me. But maybe the problem ain't what you're getting. Maybe it's you ain't hungry enough. Because you know what the Bible says? The full soul loatheth in honeycomb. But of the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. It's like that one fellow in the mountain said. He said, shoot, cross-cut saw will make you love pinto beans like nobody's business. What? Before you leave here going, what does a cross-cut saw and pinto beans have to do with one another? What he's saying is this right here. You get on one end of a cross-cut saw, and let me tell you something. Pinto beans be real good. In other words, you work hard enough, son, you'll take anything's good, huh? You know what I'm saying? Look, when you ain't hungry, Sharon just got it. Good, Sharon, that's good. When you ain't hungry, why, you're just saying, I just don't know. Right across this land, I'm afraid we're some spiritual gluttons at times. It's pretty good. We'll go home, kind of critique the thing. Let me tell you something. If we get good and hungry like we ought to, I can just open that book and read it. And you'll be like, glory to God, it's good. Thank the Lord. It's the word of God getting in. Seriously. A lot of it has to. The Bible says the full soul loatheth and honeycomb. But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. Sometimes, no doubt, it can be because, okay, if I'm not in the book or trying to give you the book, well, pray for me. That could be that. But let me tell you something. Sometimes, brethren, it's because our appetite's not as it ought to be. Because if we're hungry enough, the Bible says every bitter thing can be sweet. Okay. 1 Timothy 5. And I'm just saying, I appreciate the liberty and the opportunity you give me to do that. 1 Timothy 5, look at verse 17. 1 Timothy 5:17, that let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Verse 18, for the scripture saith, thou shalt not muzzle the ox that treadeth out the corn, and the laborer is worthy of his reward. In other words, look, when that ox was out there treading out that corn, the Lord said, don't you put a muzzle on him. Don't you put a muzzle on that ox. That ain't right. If that ox is treading corn, let him have some of it. Let him eat some of it. Don't put a muzzle on that ox. Getting his labor, not let him get a little bit of it. No. And the principle is not just God caring for oxen, but look, if a man will tread out the corn of the Word of God, he's supposed to be taken care of with it. That's just a Bible principle. Shoot, you think something hard, try to stand up as a pastor and preach this kind of stuff. But it's right. It's right. It's Scripture. All right, look here. Go back. Go back just a minute. Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, verse 5. And listen, let us remind everybody here, lest we yield to a temptation of the enemy to say, money grubbing or this and the other. Remember, we don't even pass a plate around here. We don't even pass a plate. There's a box. In fact, brethren, most of the time, I've had people come up to me, where do y'all put money at? I say, oh yeah, it's over there. That's between you and God. God knows how to take care of that stuff. He just knows how to take care. All right, look here. Are the saints supposed to give? Yes, they are. But that's a matter between you and God. We don't pass it or play it around. Why? Well, the Bible says don't let the left hand know what the right hand doeth. And it shouldn't be, giving should not be of necessity. It shouldn't be with an arm twisted or nothing like that. You should give, but it should be between you and God. Not because somebody just shamed you into it or put the pressure on you. Look here. Deuteronomy 18 again. Look at verse number 5. For the Lord thy God hath chosen him out of all thy tribes to stand and minister in the name of the Lord, him and his sons forever. Now listen to me. Please pay attention to me now. Please get this. Notice that they were chosen by the Lord. The Levites didn't just up and say, you know what? We're going to be the priests. We're going to be priests. We're going to do this. They didn't do that. The Lord chose them to do that. Now listen. Take your Bible. Watch this thing. Go to Ephesians 4. We're in a mess today. We're in a mess today. You know why we're in a mess today? Because too much of this stuff is mama called, daddy called, wife called, college called, seminary called. I'm serious. Rather than God called. I'm serious. It's a mess with it. Listen. I told when Brother Niels finished up Bible study down there at Beaufort, I was asked to come do the message for that night. And I told Brother Niels, and I told the rest of them fellas that was graduating, and I said, fellas, I'm going to tell you something. Let me tell you what this means. Let me tell you what this means. It means that you, I said, number one, it don't mean you know anything yet. Because you don't ever stop studying your Bible. So the day you die, you don't stop studying that book. I said, number two, what it does mean is that you can sit still and study. Now keep it up to the day you die. I said, let me tell you what this isn't. This is not a call of God or an ordination. And don't think of it as such. Because if you do, you're going to get yourself in a fix. And folks, never forget that. Listen, I'm going to show you something here in a minute that is the thing that's killing us today. Listen, did you know that verse we said, let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine. Did you realize if the guy is ruling well, even if he's not as sharp as he could be, but if he's ruling well, that doesn't mean he's unqualified. He's accounted worthy of double honor if he labors in word and doctrine. Do you know what's hurting our churches today? Knowledge and no character. Add to your faith knowledge? No, sir. Add to your faith virtue, then knowledge. I told my wife 20 years ago, I started seeing young men that were getting Bible knowledge and their character stunk. And I said, they're going to pay a price for it, and they have. They drop like flies and they get in a mess. Because the idea is, if I learn some Bible, I'm ready. You ain't ready for nothing, son, until God's made your character. In fact, a lot of times it's like putting a sword into a four-year-old's hands. He's going to hurt himself and somebody. God's interested in making the man, Not just Bible knowledge. Knowledge puffeth up. What edifieth? Charity. Charity. Take your Bible. Look at this. They were chosen by the Lord. Ephesians 4, look at this. Verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Watch this. And he gave some apostles, which we don't have today. Apostles went out. They were foundational positions. You don't have apostles today. We don't have time to get into all that with this study this morning, but we don't have apostles. You don't have apostolic gifts. You don't have the positions of apostles. Apostles had to have seen Jesus physically after his resurrection, have the apostolic gifts, been sent out directly by him. We don't have apostles. We don't have prophets. But we do have pastors. Look, gave some apostles, some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Now look. You see what that said? Now, folks, look, I love you. I ain't playing around with you. Look what it said. And he gave. He gave. Does that mean that somebody could stand up and say, I want to be an apostle? He gave it. Does that mean somebody can stand up and say, I want to be a prophet? He gave. Does that mean somebody can stand up and say, I think I'll go into evangelism? He has to give it. I think I'll be a pastor. He gave. Pastors, teachers, evangelists. He gave. We've got it today. A man thinks he completes a course of study and I can go out and do this or that. Son, best thing you can do, unless God calls you to something, teach and guide your family. But don't think that means you can go out, evangelize, pastor, teach. He's got to give it. Does that not, what does your Bible say? He gave. We got young men today getting themselves and their families in a mess. Because what they go out and do is, they think I finished a course of study. I might get an evangelism. I might pastor. Oh, I might teach a little bit. Oh, you think so, son? You can get yourself and your family in a fix. And you go model to mess other people up. What's the book say? He gave. God gives that stuff. You've gone, you've learned something. Fine. Help your family. Take the Bible knowledge you got and help your family. But be careful about putting yourself in a ministry God ain't. Why do you think, why did Paul say God put him in the ministry? And he said God put him in. He didn't put himself in. Why did God put him in the ministry? He said the Lord counted him what? Educated? No, sir. The Lord counted him intellectual? No, sir. The Lord counted him a gifted orator? No, sir. He said he counted me faithful. You want God to do something with you? Let God develop your character. Let God make something out of you. You can fill that empty space up there all your life. With learning, and you need to the day you die. But we've set up a system that copies the world that thinks I finished a course of study. Now I'm qualified to do something for God. What? That book says, and he gave. Apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, teachers. He gave. And he's still got to give. Take your Bible, go to 1 Corinthians 12. We got a mess today. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. I'm sorry. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healing, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. Okay, and notice that teaching, if you go back to Ephesians 4, notice that you'll find in Ephesians 4, apostles, comma, prophets, comma, evangelists, comma, then pastors and teachers listed together. And here does this teaching, because listen, a pastor is supposed to be apt to teach. One of the major parts of pastoring also is teaching. But I want you to notice, the key I'm looking at in 1 Corinthians 12, and God hath set some in the church. He's got to be the one to do it. The Lord gives these to the churches, not the seminaries, institutes, colleges. The Lord gives them. The Lord calls, the Lord trains, the Lord ordains, the Lord sends, the Lord disciplines through the local church. He does. The Lord calls. The Lord trains, the Lord ordains, the Lord sends, the Lord disciplines through the local church. Take your Bible, go to Acts 13. Acts 13. Verse 1. Acts 13, verse 1. Now there were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers as Barnabas, and Simeon that is called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work which I've called them." And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus. Notice who sent them. The Holy Ghost and the local church. The Holy Ghost and the local church. Said, look, said verse 3, and when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. Verse 4, so they, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost. Listen, the Holy Ghost is going to work through and in the local church to send someone out. What's he going to do? He's going to set up. He's going to work through the local church to call someone, train, ordain, and send through a local church. And you see that right here. Take your Bible quickly. Go to Matthew 18. Matthew 18. The local church is supposed to police itself. Matthew 18, verse 15. Matthew 18, verse 15. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, that in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it unto the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as an heathen man and a publican. Verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. The local church is to discipline itself. If you've got a matter to where... Listen, again, real quick, just real quick. You don't get in the car and go, that sister was rude to me. She wouldn't speak to me. She just flat ignored me. No, I tell you what, let's do it like this. I can't believe Brother Siler ignored me this morning. How much plainer can it be when I said, morning, brother, and he just strode right past. Can't believe it. Huh. Okay. If that's the way he wants to play, two can play that thing fine. Sure. See, that thing stew and stew. You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, first of all, you shut your mouth. And if you've got a problem with Brother Siler, you go talk to him. And in doing so, guess what you find out? The poor brother's ears are so stopped up, he can't hear a thing. That's a fact. Brother Siler can't hear hardly one thing. He's probably lip reading what I'm saying right now. Really, I'm serious. That poor brother's in bad shape right now. He's trying for his, she'll tell you, all right? But you know what? You think things ain't going to happen. Oh, it happens. It happens. But you know what? So what happens is, by not obeying the Bible, yeah, I can't believe you like that. Snooty like that. Well, I can do that thing too. So you know what? You're not obeying the Bible. You're supposed to go talk to him and say, brother, you were rude to me today. I feel like a kid. No kidding. And you're acting like one now. Stop it. If you can't go to the brother, shut up. Seriously, come on. What did we just read? You know what we like to do? We like to feel, we like to have that little tally we keep. You know, we're like, I got one. They've done me wrong. So they kind of owe me. I can use this. We like somebody being owing us kind of. They did us dirty and we kind of don't even want to get it right. Because if we get it right, shoot, man, we're on the same plane again. I don't like that. Lord, help us. In our flesh, brethren, we are wicked. God, help us. You gonna tell me then a part of you like that? You lying to yourself. That's why if you're saved, you gotta bring that flesh in subjection. So you're supposed, but Lord says that don't work. You're supposed to go and say, I need to talk to this brother. I need to say, Brother Siler, you just didn't talk to me today. I know you'd feel stupid doing that, and rightfully so. What you need to say is, well, you know what? He probably didn't hear me. And I'm just gonna think the best of it. I ain't gonna worry about it. There you go. But if it bothers you that bad, go talk to the person, not everybody else. Brother Siler didn't talk to me. Brother Siler was rude to me. Brother Siler was, can you believe that? And you know what that does to somebody else? Hey, you know what? I think he has been kind of different lately. Yeah. Yeah, you know what? Yeah. So you know what? You start interpreting things by that thing you hear. And all of a sudden things get magnified. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, I think I've been getting slighted a little bit too lately. I think, yeah, you know what? Well, who does he think he is? You think he's arrived, he's on a spiritual plane, the rest of us aren't on? I tell you what, man, that thing spreads. When what you're supposed to do is go to the person. And you know what you find out? The brother's ears are stopped up. But if you feel silly doing it, then you realize it's not really a problem anyway. If it didn't work, you take two witnesses and you tell it to the church. Poor Brother Siler. I just got stopped up ears. But you understand. Brother, if you handle it the way God said, you can nip problems. You can take care of them. Or you find out that really it's not a problem. We like to feel slighted because it lets us do that thing our flesh so bad wants to do. Indulge ourselves. Square up to it, brethren. Square up to it. We like indulging ourselves. We like feeling, because you know, brethren, we're all about us. I mean, if we're saved, there's another part of us born of God, but this flesh is all about us, and we like that stuff that lets us pull off in a corner and just go, me, me. I can think about me because I've been done wrong, so I have a legitimate, justifiable reason to think about me. That's the truth, brethren. If we're saved, there's a part of us that's not like that, but our flesh, our unredeemed flesh, it's just looking for any chance it can to justify me, me, me. The Lord showed us, though, how to handle it, but it means getting out of ourselves. Anyway, the local church is to discipline itself and handle itself like that. Real quick, go to Acts 14. Acts 14. Acts 14, verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people that having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up and came into the city. And the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and Iconium and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue the faith. Look at this. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter the kingdom of God. Those old saints of God didn't pull no punches. They didn't throw out this lying thing of like, oh, get saved and God's got this wonderful, happy life for you. Yeah, in eternity. But you get saved and born again, your problems sometimes are going to intensify. They shot straight back then. This stuff, it's just going to be. And this might get saved and then forgotten. It's like, what in the world, man, happened? Everything in the world, what's going on? They didn't pull no punches with it. Listen, you get saved and live for the Lord. Man, you're going to be tested. You're going to be tried. You're going to be opposed. All that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. There's all kind of things. Y'all, Jesus Christ didn't die to give me this good life. He died to reconcile me to God, to give me eternal life. But I live for God because God is worth living for and because He's worthy of it. It's not about me, it's about God. There's a humanistic mindset that probably around the early 1900s when started entering into things that's all me-oriented again. It's like God's up there supposed to make sure that Jonathan Doss has a good life. I'm to serve Him. And that ends up good in the sense of I have internal peace. And there's eternal reward awaiting. But it's not about, it's about me fitting in and finding that place for me and fitting in that cog to fulfill His will for my life with all the other pieces and everybody else's pieces together. It's about God. Not about me. Not about you. It's about God. Look here. Verse 23. And when they had ordained them elders in every church and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord on whom they believed. Well, they do. Okay, ordaining. Where's it done? Local church. Discipline. Local church. Training. Sending. All that local church. All right? Look here. Now, real quick. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Real quick. I'll try to hurry along here a minute. Deuteronomy 18, verse 6. It says, and if a Levite come from any of thy gates out of all Israel where he sojourned, and come with all the desire of his mind out of the place which the Lord shall choose, then he shall minister in the name of the Lord his God, as all his brethren the Levites do, which stand there before the Lord. So all the Levites, listen, the Levites would have seasonal duties they had to do. They would have seasonal duties. At times, different ones of the Levites, it was their time for their family or this person to come up, and it would rotate. It was like you'll see in the Bible a rotational kind of thing. But a Levite might say, you know what? I want to do this all the time. I want to do this all the time. And he would come up not just for his rotational time, but you know what? I want to stay here and I want to do this. All right? And because he had a desire to do that. Now listen, so watch this. Not just performing his seasonal rotational duties, but with a desire to consecrate himself to fuller service. Go to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Hang with me. Hang with me. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Paul said, look, God told me to preach, and I can't get out from under it. He said, if I do it willingly, I got a reward. If not, something's been dispensed to me that I better do. Now, hang with me. I'm going to show you something. Hang with me. Go to 1 Peter 5. I think we're going to be able to maybe give some insight between a desire and a call. A desire and a call. Peter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. That a pastor should, listen, God needs to have given him the office, called him to it, but he needs to do it willingly. If he's going to be in the will of God, he's going to have to do it. If he's going to be in the will of God with joy and happiness, he needs to do it willingly. Take your Bible, go to 1 Timothy 3. 1 Timothy 3, verse 1. This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. Well, now there we go. There you go. Now, we just read, he gave some apostles, some evangelists, some prophets, some pastors. Okay. But here it says, if a man desire the office. Okay. So what do you do with that? Simple. Desire it. Pray about it. If you would like that, if you would like God to call you to something, desire it. Pray for it. But you better let God grant it. That's the key. When Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, three times he prayed for something that he wanted. Father, take this cup away. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And the Father answered him, no. The answer was no. The Father would not take the cup away. But Christ asked three times for it. Paul asked three times for that affliction to be taken away there in 2 Corinthians. The Lord said no. Listen, desire that office. But if God doesn't see fit to grant it in his will for your life, accept his will and go on. Me and y'all's daddy was talking the other day about the mess that people get into with frustrated ambition. Frustrated ambition, wanting to be something they're not cut out to be, or God don't call them to be, or they can't be, and getting frustrated with it. Look here. And as far as the world goes, I want to be a woman, though I'm a man. Huh? Think about it. Seriously, that's really, out in the world, among believers. I want to do this. Okay, pray about it. But if God doesn't grant it, can you be happy? Can you be content? Can you be satisfied? Frustrated ambition. God won't open the doors for me. I want him to open for me. I want to do something else. God won't do it. Okay, that's fine. Pray about it. But if he doesn't, can you be content? Can you be happy? And if you can't, you're going no further in your Christian walk till you can get victory over that. You understand? God may call some people and they don't want to do it. But they better, because the will of God for them is that. And it's better for them if they have a good attitude, but God's called them to it. They better. You got some people, they want to do it. God may grant it. Others, he may say, no. No. Maybe not now, maybe later, maybe never. Thy will be done. This may be a hard pill to swallow, y'all, but you better swallow it. Or you're just going to be frustrated. It's the truth. Desire it. Pray that. Look, Paul, they want to go to Asia one time. God said, no. Later on, open the door for it. Later on. At the time, he said, no, you're going to Macedonia. God sometimes says no or wait a while. Sometimes never. Can you accept what his will? Do we really mean it when we say, your glory, Lord? What glorifies you, your honor. Do we mean it? Do we mean it? You know, some folks, it's a matter of they don't want to do it, but they know they're better or they'll be out of the will of God. Look here, take your Bible. Let me say this. I'll say again, desire it, pray for it, but God must grant it. I'll tell you this, if you want it, I would love the I would love the office of a bishop. I'd love to be a pastor. I wish God a mission. I wish God called me to. All right, prepare for it. Well, I plan on going to school. I didn't say that. I said prepare for it. I heard you, preacher. I said that's why I'm going to school. No, you didn't hear me. I said prepare for it. You're making my head hurt. What do you mean? What are you talking about? Look at your Bible, 1 Timothy 3. This is a true saying. Verse 1, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth the good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice that's being lifted up in pride, he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. By preparing your character. Did you get that? If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires the good work. So he better get to studying. No, he better get to letting God develop his character. We have twisted it around today to where we think study means I'm qualified. No, it doesn't. God qualifies on character. Do you understand me? That's why our churches many times are hurting people rather than helping people. And they think that Bible facts and Bible knowledge equates out to what I need to get. And they're in a mess. Their homes are in a mess. But they think, I'm good to go. I know some things. You missed it, man. You ain't got a clue. You desire it? Well, the next verses talk about developing your character. You desire it? Okay. What can you do to prepare for? What can you do for maybe God to maybe say yes to it? Let God develop that character. Take your Bible. Go to Titus. Titus 1 at verse 5. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed thee. If any be blameless, the husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not guilty of not given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as he has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort and to convince the gainsayers. Character. Character. 1 Timothy chapter 1. A couple more things here. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me. God enables those that he calls. For that he counted me, what? Intellectual? A good speaker? Intelligent? No, he counted me faithful. Putting me into the ministry. Listen, I want you real quick, and I'll get this and we'll be just about done. Just a couple more things. But real quick, I want you to understand the difference between a desire and a call. Go to Acts 13. Here's the difference between a desire and a call. Acts 13. Acts 13, verse 2. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them. Okay. So now, could Barnabas and Paul go, shucks, Lord, I can't believe you do that. I don't think so. Not right now. That's nice of you. Oh, that means a lot. Thank you, Lord. What? He called them to it. If they don't do it, they will be in disobedience. They will be rebellious. They will hit a brick wall as far as their walk with God. They've got to. He called them to it. Do you understand? A call involves obedience or disobedience. If you don't answer a call, you're not going forward in your walk with God because you're in rebellion. You're not in the will of God. a desire, as we'll see, is something God may grant, but you're not going to be suffering any punishment if you don't do it. A desire is just something God says, okay, I'll let you do that. And I'll give you examples of it in a minute. A call, if you don't obey a call, you are out of the will of God and you are being disobedient. That's the difference. A lot of times if you're trying to figure the thing out in your mind, well, ask yourself, if I don't do this, can I go on in my walk with God? Can I continue to walk with Him in fellowship? Well, yeah, well, it's probably not a call. If you realize I will be disobedient if I don't do this thing, that involves a call. Take your Bible, look at Acts 16. Acts 16, verse 7. Acts 16, verse 7. After they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So, look, they tried to go into Bithynia. God didn't call them to go there. They just tried to go, and the Lord said, no, He would let them go there right now. Take your Bible, go to Acts 16, verse 10. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Brethren, they better go. God has called them to do that now. Watch, real quick. God may grant a desire. Go to Acts 15. Go to Acts 15. God may grant a desire. Acts 15, look at verse 36. And some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And God let him do it. Well, watch. In Acts 13, God said, separate me, Paul and Barnabas. I've called them to a work. They better go. They got to go. In Acts 15, Paul says, hey, let's go see them brethren again and see how they're doing. Now, God didn't call them. They just want to do it. And you know what? God's going to allow it. In Acts 16, they said, let's go into Asia. God says, no. God may grant a desire or He may not. But you're not going to be none the worse for it as far as your walk with God in that. But when God calls to something, if you don't do it, you are out of the will of God. You're disobedient. Listen, someone may say, you know what? I believe the Lord is calling me to the mission field. If He's really calling, you better go. Because if you don't go, you're out of the will of God. You're being rebellious, and you're going to hit a brick wall in your walk with God. But let's suppose you're like, you know what? I got a couple of months of vacation coming up. I got the money saved up. You know what? Unless God closes the door, let's hop over and go help mission. Go help with the gate out over there. Let's go do that. And Lord may say yes. He may say no. But you're not going to be any the worse for it. God's not called you to do it. You're not being disobedient. He may let you. He may not. That's the difference between them. A call, God may grant a desire, He may not, but a call involves obedience or disobedience and rebellion. You understand that? It's all the difference in the world. Look here. You take, and I'm going to be careful when I say this. We've kind of built up this elaborate thing to where missionaries are looked at as, and listen, anybody, any missionary who listens to this, nothing against you, love you, God bless you, hope you understand. But we've almost built up this thing where missionaries are like, wow, man, they're what? They're in the will of God. Do you realize if they didn't answer that call, they'd be disobedient? They're over there because they're supposed to be over there. Be careful. You can build up a celebrity status that is not good for the missionary nor good for anybody else. You understand me? Sometimes missionaries can come off a mission field and get fed and dined and wined and dined so much, their health ends up suffering for it. They got to go back to the field and lose a lot of weight. Because they're so wined and dined. Hey, don't you listen? I love you. I love it. And the missionaries that would suffer under it. We've developed this thing, though. It's like, wow, man, they're over there in a mission field. Well, good. They better be. If God called them to it, they better be there. Because they'd be out of the will of God to be anywhere else. Folks, listen. I hope that you can say where you're at right now on your job or whatever you're doing, you're there because that's where you're supposed to be. Brother, look here. I'm not pastoring. I've yielded to it, but I'm not pastoring because I want to do it. If I wasn't doing this, I wouldn't be in the will of God and where I'm supposed to be. And I hope you can say the same things in your life. If you've got a desire, fine, pray about it. God may grant it, but make sure He grants it. Make sure it's Him. God may even call you to the thing. Prepare your character. Let it be God. But understand, brother, sometimes we build up this thing to where somebody can sit there and feel. Let me tell you something. I told you, David Livingston, he went to Africa. He had a brother. They both wanted to go to Africa as missionaries, but they both couldn't go. And his brother said, I'll support you and I'll stay behind. And I think he wrecked his health doing it. So look here. David Livingston got a lot of the glory. He got a lot of the honor. He got a lot of the celebrity status. Not cutting him down. Great man. Well, nobody hears much about his brother. But in the eyes of Almighty God, come on. You think one of them's more in out of the will of God than the other? Come on. Uh-uh. Hopefully they're both doing what they're supposed to be doing. What they're supposed to be. Look here, brethren. Real quick. Go to Hebrews 11. Just about summing it up. And I'm not cutting down, brethren, anybody that goes, thanks be the Lord. They're out there on the mission field. Thanks be to God. I love them. Appreciate the sacrifice. But at the same time, if God called them there, they better be there. That's where they're supposed to be. They'd be out of the will of God not to be there. Brethren, I don't buy this thing. Well, I may go to the mission field, or I may teach somewhere, or I may pastor. What's got into your head, son? What do you mean you may this and you may that? That's not what you see in the Bible. And he gave some this and he gave. That's not, you don't just up and pop up and do and this and the other. It should be because God's directed in that thing. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Hebrews 11, verse 8. Real quick. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. Do you see the principle? Call, obeyed. Calling, obey. And he went out not knowing whether he went. When there's a call, there's going to be obedience involved. Abraham did not get up one day and go, honey, let's head out of Ur of the Chaldees and let's just go. Where? Oh, no. But let's just go. We'll maybe head up toward, we'll follow the Euphrates. Kind of that fertile crescent loop. And we'll see what happens. That's not what he did. God called him out of the Ur of the Chaldees and said, Abraham, go. And I'm going to bring you into a land and I'm going to give it to you one day. He called him. What the Bible? What did Abraham did? He obeyed. Do you think Noah said, Ms. Noah, I got an urge. I'm going to make a big ship. I feel like I ought to do it. I'm just going to. No. God said, Noah, build this thing this wide, this long, this wide, this high. Here's how you're going to do it. And he obeyed. He obeyed. Did what he's supposed to do. Y'all, that's what a call involves. It involves obedience. A desire, God may grant it. That's fine. Or he may say no. Or down the line, God may call if you prepare yourself. But you better prepare yourself God's way. Letting God make your character. Your character. All right, real quick. Just about summing it up. Go back to Deuteronomy 18. Verse 8. Says, they shall have like portions to eat beside that which cometh of the sale of his patrimony. So once again, if a Levite, instead of doing his rotational seasonal duties, he said, I just want to do this all the time. He was to come and he was to get the support that would be given to Levites who did that. But also, if he sold his patrimony, he got to keep the sale of his patrimony also. What's a patrimony? It's defined in the dictionary as a right or estate inherited from one's ancestors. It may be a house, you know, or as far as a dwelling, maybe some piece of property. You know, because the Levites didn't have land like everybody else did. The Lord was their inheritance. But they could have some property they could have. But when he was to go up there and he served, he might sell that patrimony. He might sell that thing. And he's got that money to help him out. Listen, now close it up with this. He was to receive the portion given to all the Levites as well as any money he got from selling his property. He was not to be begrudged the regular portion just because he had income from the sale of his patrimony. And if you want to make an application of it, it's this, y'all. Look, a minister should never abuse his power in the gospel. Woe to him if he does. And if he does, there's a God in heaven that'll take care of that, you can be sure. But neither should he be begrudged of what is cleanly and rightfully his. Understand, this guy, he was to get the support the Levites get. But also, whatever he sold, he got to keep that also without being begrudged. Well, I tell you what, if somebody abuses any power in the things of God, don't worry. There's a God in heaven who watches that thing. And woe to the one who so would do. Let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, a lot of different things we looked at this morning. Father, I pray you'd help us, dear God, to take these things to heart. And Lord, teach us how to make a right and a proper application. Father, I pray if there's anybody here today or listening on recording that, Father, has never come to you through the Lord Jesus Christ, please, Father, by your Spirit and your Word, help such a one to see their need of salvation and your provision in Jesus Christ, I pray. And Father, for every person that's here, that's saved, or anybody that's saved that will be listening to this recording, Lord, help us to take what we've heard and make application as your Spirit would so direct us. Father, help these men, I pray, dear God, to realize that as important it is, dear God, of course, to study, Lord, and have doctrine down, but Lord, help them, Lord, to remember, dear God, remember the great importance and Lord, the emphasis you put on the development of the man personally, of his character. Because, Lord, we can have all the Bible knowledge we maybe think we have, but, Lord, if our character doesn't match up with it, nobody's going to hear us. And yea, verily, Lord, your word says we can cause your word to be blasphemed if our character don't match up with it ought to be. So help us to understand these things, Father, and get them and apply them as we ought. And I pray you'll dismiss us with your blessings. We ask this in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen.